Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about some wonderful things. Before we get into the lesson, please open your Bibles, follow along. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me about anything that I say or anything that we teach. If you're interested in studying more, please talk with us and we would be pleased to study with you. So, wonderful things. What is a wonderful thing? You ask different people and you'll get different answers. Several weeks ago, I did a sermon on digital addiction and was talking about a dopamine rush that people get from viewing certain and different things. And that dopamine rush has to be bigger the next time and bigger the next time and bigger. And we live in a world where people miss so many of the truly wonderful things because they are looking for some fantasy. God's word is full of wonderful things. I want us to start in John chapter 5 and consider that it is a wonderful privilege to hear the word. In John chapter 5 and verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son of Man gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So back to verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Have you ever stopped to consider what a wonderful privilege it is to hear the word? In America, we just take it for granted. There are so many parts of the world that do not have the blessing that we do. And they cherish, they look forward to. You see and read about people traveling a distance to hear someone preach the word so that they can hear the word, so that they can know what they need to do. It's a wonderful privilege to hear the word of God. But this is nothing new. David said in Psalm 19, more to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, better than gold. What is he talking about? He's talking about the word of God. He describes it as gold and sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. You think about gold. And you know, you got to wonder, weren't we supposed to see the golden Fort Knox? I don't remember seeing that, but that's another issue. But people want gold. And there's nothing wrong with it unless you trust in it. But what if someone gave you a map and they said, you take this map and you follow this map and you can have gold beyond your wildest imagination, more gold than you can spend the rest of your life. I dare say we would probably take that map and go looking for it. Wouldn't you like to have a map like that? Friends, we've got one. We've got one right here. It's God's Word. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. God's Word is better than all the gold in the world. It will make us the richest person that there is. It's a wonderful thing. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This wonderful privilege to hear God's Word. If we didn't hear God's Word, we would be lost. We would not know how to obey it. Jesus said in John 15:3, you are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. So friends, it's a privilege to be cleaned by the Word. Peter tells us, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Again, all of these things revolve around the Word. It's a wonderful privilege. David told us in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This book is the most valuable possession that we have. Paul said to the Thessalonians, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. What a wonderful privilege to hear those words. Just think if Paul had not written about the resurrection and meeting Christ in the air. It's so wonderful that we know these things. And what do? We just take them for granted. It's a privilege to assemble together on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, during the week, whenever we can. It's a wonderful privilege to hear God's Word. It's one of the greatest things that we can do. In Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. So I mentioned this morning about we'll be out of town at the end of the month. And I'll tell you how we do it when we travel. The first thing I do is find the congregations we're going to be at. I already have them picked out, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Then I pick out the hotels close to those congregations. Then I pick out what we're going to do around those areas. Because you know what? If we miss so much in life by missing getting to know other Christians, sound congregations, faithful congregations, family that we have in other places. And when you're in a place you know nothing about, but you have God's people there, it is such a blessing that we have. It's a wonderful thing. And when we talk about the Word of God, I'm not just talking about this ink on paper reading these words. I'm talking about the Word of God. It is powerful. It is so powerful. And you think about the Word of God that spoke the earth into existence, the Word of God that sustains everything. And friends, this word of God, it's a privilege to hear it, a wonderful privilege, but it's not going to do us any good until we put it in our mind, in our heart, and study it. In the book of John, the phrase, verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly, I say unto you, it's used over 25 times. The word of God. The emphasis is laid on the truth that hearing Jesus and believing in God through the words of Jesus would bring everlasting life. It's a wonderful privilege to hear the word. Friends, without hearing the word, we would not have salvation. Without hearing the word, without opening our Bibles, we would not know who God is, what He expects of us, what He wants us to do. It's a wonderful privilege. And with the privilege of hearing God's word, there comes responsibility. Something else to consider that's wonderful, the wonderful person of God in Christ. Jesus and God are separate, but they are one. In Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul wrote, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul also told the Ephesians, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all holiness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with the love of God." So this wonderful person, God in Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word came and became flesh, Christ, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. That's how we learn also about God, not just by the words, but by reading about the life of Christ. And in Ephesians 3:18, when he talks about the length and the breadth and the height and the depth, and you think about the love of God and the love of Christ, what was the length of that love? It stretched before the foundation of time, and it continues all through eternity. God loved us so much. Christ loved us so much. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God, Christ in the flesh. What's the breadth of it? John 3:16, "God so loved the world that whosoever," that's universal. That doesn't leave anybody out. What if in the Bible it had a list of everybody's name and my name was missing? That would be one of the most horrible things. But whosoever is universal, it includes everybody. What's the height and depth of God's love? It reaches from heaven all the way down to the earth to lift us up out of sin. You know, you get in a plane and you fly and you leave the runway and you start going up and you get up 10,000 feet, 20,000 feet, 30,000 feet, and that's nothing, thinking about what separates God and man, yet his love reaches down to lift us up. We sing the song, His Grace Reaches Me. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Do we appreciate that? Paul said in Romans 5, 8 and 9, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath through Him. While we were still sinners, not when we deserved it, but when we were sinners. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Again, God's grace, His love, reaches down to me. Over and over, His love is expressed. His love is expressed to us throughout the Bible, on every page of the Bible. And friends, our love should be expressed to God every day. It should be on our lips. It should, and what's on our lips should be what's in our heart. And what comes out of our mouth, something is not going to come out of our mouth that is not in our mind, in our heart. And the more love that we have for God in our heart, the more is going to come out on our lips. So a few wonderful things, a wonderful privilege to hear the word, wonderful person, God in Christ. A wonderful possession that we have, everlasting life. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see Him, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 6:54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So John 3:36 and John 6:54 talk about us presently having eternal life. In Mark 10:30, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So in Mark 10:30 and Titus 1:2, we have eternal life, everlasting life in the future. So it talks about, the scriptures talk about us having it presently now, and it talks about us having it in the future. Well, how can that be? Isn't that a contradiction? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament for an example. Now, how do we understand eternal life? It's so assured, so guaranteed, it's spoken as if we already possess it. The Lord told Joshua in Joshua 6 and verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Had Joshua conquered Jericho at this time? No. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city and all your men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets. It's a sure thing, Joshua. It's yours. He had to do something to get it, but it was so guaranteed, it was spoken as if Joshua already possessed it. See, I have given Jericho into your hands. Our eternal life, our everlasting life, is so guaranteed, it's spoken as if we already have it. Now, there are things we have to do, just as with Joshua, that we're conditional on that happening, but when we do those things, it is guaranteed. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's waiting for me. But I have to keep working for that to happen. So you think about this. What do you do with your valuables? You safeguard them. You put them in a safe. You lock them. You protect them. At one time, we had a bank where we had a safe deposit box that came with our account. We put important papers in that safe deposit box to guard them, to protect them. We have a safe in our house. We put important papers. We put a few valuables in there in case the house burned down. We want those things protected. That's normal. That's reasonable. You don't want to lose those valuable things. How do you safeguard your heart? How do you safeguard your mind? Or do you leave your most valuable possession, do you leave your mind wide open to let anybody come in, take anything from it, put anything in it? How do you guard your most valuable possession? You know, people go at lengths to protect their houses. And there's nothing wrong with this, but you just see everybody doing it. We don't. I was going to say a lot of people have these Ring doorbells or whatever you call them with a camera on it. We don't even have a doorbell. But they have these cameras, so when somebody comes up to the house, they can look on their phone, they can be in another state because they want to know what's going on at their house, at their home, because they want to protect their home. And there's nothing wrong with that. Friends, don't forget to protect your most valuable possession, your heart, your mind, your soul. Don't leave it wide open for anybody to come in and plant garbage in it. Don't leave your front door. Don't leave your front door wide open for people to come in and take what they want. Friends, everlasting life is a wonderful possession, but we need to protect it. We need to guard it. It is so wonderful. Something else to consider is a wonderful promise that we shall not come into judgment. Remember Titus 1:2, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time again. Again, he has told us the conditions that we need to do to be obedient to him, how to live a faithful life. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. You see, that's a conditional choice. They suffered shipwreck by choice. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. We have a wonderful promise of our salvation. It's conditional, but we have help. 1 Peter 1:5, Peter writes, who are kept by the power of God through faith and to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What kind of word is kept in this verse? It's a military term. It's guarded. It's protected. Who are kept by the power of God. We are kept. We are guarded. We are protected by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time. And we are going to miss that judgment of condemnation. We have warnings. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. That's a choice. We can follow God. We can choose to follow God. We can choose to leave God. And Jesus said in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So sometimes, I would say we all complain from time to time, and sometimes we complain about what's going on in life. Sometimes we just got to stop and think, maybe God is pruning me. I'm speaking to myself. I've got to think, maybe God is pruning me. Why am I whining and complaining about this and that? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Friends, we cannot quit bearing fruit, but we are kept by the power of God through faith. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, this is something here we don't think about, but this is also conditional. The sheep, the shepherd speaks. The sheep hear his voice. They choose to follow him, or they choose not to. They choose not to, they might be devoured by a wolf. They choose not to, they might drown in a stream, or we might drown in the pleasures of the world. We can sin, we can backslide, we can fall from grace. But we have a wonderful promise that we can escape the judgment of damnation when we follow God. And before we get to the judgment, we have a wonderful passage from death to life. In Ezekiel 18:20, speaking of the, Ezekiel says, the soul who sins shall die, the son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When we as a Christian die, we have the most wonderful thing to look forward to. You think about the rich man and Lazarus, and when Lazarus died, and I believe this is the same for all of us that are faithful, he was escorted by the angels into paradise. Why would I worry about dying if I'm living for God? Why would I worry about leaving anything or anybody behind? Because when we live right, when we escape the judgment of damnation and we go to heaven, there's no more pain, no sorrow. God, like a loving father, he himself will wipe every tear away from us. That's how John describes it. Whatever was on our mind in this world will be lifted. We need to be focused on serving God. We need to understand and see the wonderful things we have right in front of us instead of looking for the next big fix or the next big high, or looking for things to satisfy us in the world, because the things of the world are never going to satisfy us. They'll give us pleasure for a season, pleasure for a short time. And then as you get older, and people older than me can attest to this, when you get older, you don't enjoy doing those things you did when you were younger because your body cannot do them. Good or bad, God made this body to wear down and to wear out. He's got a better body waiting for us, incorruptible body, an everlasting body that we will be with him for time without end. These are a few wonderful things. There's so many bad things we hear every day. here's five wonderful things for you to take this week as you go through the week. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.